On February the 26th, staff followed up with an email to representatives of Fair U City about the meeting that was going to occur on March 19th. On March the 19th, the Parks Commission met, had brief discussion regarding Fair U City, but there was no representative from Fair U City that attended the meeting. They did attend a meeting, a representative, in April, and presented the information to the Parks Commission. However, May the 1st, we had scheduled another meeting with representatives from Fair U City, and again, there was no one that attended. There had been some discussion regarding the terms of the agreement, so I want to make sure that everyone understands what we were requesting of them in the proposed agreement. Fair U City would be required to provide insurance, obtain the proper permits. They were going to provide a refundable deposit of $5,459. What we had stated was that before any scholarships were given, the cost that we would initially absorb for our services, which are $16,614, would need to be paid back to the city. The other issue is regarding the use of the park. Same structure, which is before any scholarships are given, Fair U City must pay for the use of the city park. However, we would absorb all of those costs initially. After 5 years, if Fair U City did not reimburse the city for those costs, my intention was to recommend that though all of those costs be waived. The central issue here is ensuring that the taxpayers' funds that are to be used cannot be described as simply a pass-through. So in order for us to ensure that we were recouping all of the taxpayers' funds prior to any scholarships being provided, we made those requests. At no time did any staff member disrespect in any manner a representative of Fair U City during our discussions, nor will we in the future. As many of you are aware, respect is one of the core values that defines how we will behave towards council, residents, stakeholders, and each other. On May the 9th, 2019, it was the consensus of council that I pursue bringing a fair to University City in 2020. We have been given 90 to 100 days to provide the mayor and council with our initial report on this event, and I have every intention of doing so. That concludes my comment, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Next on the agenda is citizen participation. There will be 5 minutes maximum for each speaker. When you come to the podium, please give your name and address of residence. And the first speaker this evening is Leif Johnson.
My name is Leif Johnson. I live at 836 Barclay Square, University City. My discussion tonight is economic development. And if I can find my glasses, I'll be able to give this talk. Well, that'll do. Rex Singfield's plan for county-city financial dictatorship is beginning to crumble. Actually, it has...
Mr. Johnson, would you lower the microphone so that we could actually...
The Rex Singfield's plan for a city council financial dictatorship is beginning to crumble. Actually, it crumbled a little bit more because they found that outstate was more against Singfield than here. But I suspected that all along. You know, these farmers out there are not so dumb. It seems that the city-county residents want to keep Singfield's long fingers out of their pockets and want to save their local governments. So to accomplish exactly the same thing with the same people, the former mayor of Clayton is touting a Plan B. I think it means B for backup. He admits that really the only difference between Plan A, Singfield's, and Plan B, the freeholders, is that it will allow city county voters to vote. He specifically says that Plan B will adopt key parts of Singfield's plan, Plan A. What might those parts be? Here's a hint. A Post-Dispatch article, 4/27/19, reported that the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority, everyone here knows all about that, I'm sure, shelled out $4 million in legal fees to keep the Rams in St. Louis. It spent $16 million to create plans for a riverfront stadium. It gave away luxury suites, parking spaces, advertising, naming rights, concession revenues to keep the Rams in St. Louis. Gave them a $1 option to buy land worth $12 million, and spent $300 million on the former Trans World Dome, plus an additional $295,000 in more legal fees. City, county, state taxpayers pay $24 million a year to pay for this. This is not shady dealing, graft, corruption, sweetheart or insider dealing, misuse of taxpayer funds, fraud, fleecing the public, grand larceny, feeding at the public trough, or swindling. No, no. In the brave new world of Rex Singfield is called economic development. Yes, economic development. According to the Post-Dispatch, the $24 million a year is actually to pay off the total bond debt, and they say once estimated at $720 billion. Has anyone ever heard of the St. Louis Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority and the $720 million? Might we imagine what economic plans Rex has in store for us? Riverfront Stadium, two sport complexes, maybe three or more, Riverfront Marina, soccer stadium, bringing back the Rams, downtown renewal, another convention center, extensive hotel and tourism subsidies. Whatever Singfield's plan B, the freeholders' plan is, we know that it will be, one, a huge bond scheme paid by sales taxes and service cuts. Service cuts means efficiency, of course. Two, a city bond bailout, and three, an abolition of local government. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Tom Sullivan. Mr. Sullivan withdraws his request. The next speaker is Aaron Ginsberg.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, my name is Aaron Ginsberg. I live at 430 West Point Court. And instead of speaking to council, I'm actually here to address Tom Sullivan. Hey, Tom, I appreciate the work you did many years ago as a citizen advocate, but your recent campaigns leave me questioning your relevance and motivation. I've never heard you criticize the people profiting off the economic losses in our third ward. Instead, you're trying to stop UCity from generating $15 million in new funding to invest in our community. I've never heard you criticize right-wing mega-donor Rex Singfeld. I've never heard you criticize Singfeld's many undemocratic attempts to reshape Missouri's laws. Instead, you passed out his talking points from Singfeld's Show Me Institute at the UCity TIF hearings. At city council meetings this past fall and winter, I repeatedly asked, how much money is Singfeld paying you to kill University City's redevelopment? Tom, you've never answered my question. Instead, you filed ethics complaints against University City Public Library and have accused our school district officials of, quote, lying and cheating. Why target institutions that benefit our most vulnerable neighbors? Libraries and schools rely on taxes to serve the public good, and billionaires like Rex Singfeld hire advertisers like you to keep from paying their fair share. So I'll ask again, politely as always, Tom Sullivan, how much is Rex Singfeld paying you? Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Jonathan Brown.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Brown. Thank you for allowing me a moment to speak. However, in light of City Manager Rowe's comments about moving the item to the 28th agenda, I withhold my comments and look forward to proceeding at that time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker is Jerry Boone. And Mr. Boone, you have indicated it's a public hearing, but the Novus Development is not. Are you prepared to speak? Thank you.
Hi, I didn't address this. My name is Jerry Boone. I have property 8625 Elmore Court. I addressed y'all a couple times before, and I'm just saying I'm for the project to go through for the development. And I just want to say a few things about, I'm an internal engineer, electrical engineer for the federal government. And my district I handle is tri-state areas of New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania, plus in MEA and Asia Pac, in Afghan war zones and stuff. I put up shock collars in different areas of the city for the police to direct where gunfire is posted in all the cities in the United States. I had in my office in the Chronicle, I had the guys pull some data for correlations and development. I looked at Cameron, New Jersey, Memphis, and they was going to a similar project like U City, but their area was smaller than ours. And I noticed what happened, the results from it. Revenue increased, tax increased, more policemen was hired, more jobs, more people got work, and the environment really developed, the community got better. And so what I'm saying is, I don't know if you guys are looking at the correlation of other cities, what they did and other areas, what's best for us, U City, which I hadn't lived here for all my life. I wish y'all take that into consideration and get this done. I heard the 28th y'all going to make some decision, but I wish you'd hurry up because this has really been dragging for 3 years now. And it don't take that long to make no decisions. Those guys in Patton, Cameron, New Jersey, Memphis, and other states I looked at when I put the equipment in and approved for stuff to run our wires and network for them to do the building, it didn't take them that long to do it, how long it's taken us to do this. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. The last speaker is Gerald Tears.
Thank you very much. I actually have another slightly different topic, but I'd like to first say that I do appreciate that despite the fact that I've given you considerable heat about hearing nothing about the project, I appreciate that there has been something going on in the background, and apparently it's proceeding. So I thank you very much, and I hope that I was not too tough on hollering at you about it. All right. Well, I'm actually here to talk about, and it's very apropos that we had this study session, I'm here to talk about what has been described as our rampant crime problem. And I can already hear people saying, we don't have one. But it may not be what you think. My wife and I, for instance, have been running into people who refuse to come to the Loop in the daytime, or in some cases to even enter U City. Why is this? Because they're afraid of being robbed. They're convinced that we have a very dangerous area. The area seems to be widely known as dangerous, regardless of the true situation. These folks are from all over the St. Louis area, including Clayton, St. Louis City, and so forth. Having lived here for 34 years, I'm not quite in the same opinion that they are, but they believe it's true. In fact, recently, we had a person, and my wife knows, who lives in the South Grand area by Tower Grove. And just as a bit of background, not that long ago, I knew somebody who lived there, and they had a running gunfight through their backyard. They moved out very quickly thereafter. They stuck their head out the window, and that was what was going on, and they pulled it in really quick. If a person like that feels it is too, and they did, feels it is too dangerous to come to U City, we got a problem. And I don't think I need to explain that very much further. All right. Now, as for rampant crimes, well, there are indeed some crimes, and we do have them. And I appreciate the questions regarding drug houses because, for instance, on the street behind me, we did have two. And they went on for years. They were reported. Nothing ever happened. I have no idea why. The residents on that street have a few ideas, and they're not very complimentary. I won't repeat them. But it's not a good thing. Let's leave it at that. I think everybody understands. So, you may think there is no rampant crime, and you may be right. I think we don't have rampant crime. I think we have crime, at least in some areas. To what people in the rest of the St. Louis area think, we need to be worried about that. And honestly, I'm a little annoyed that we haven't been making a point of safety around here in terms of advertising and marketing ourselves. We might have to market the Loop a little bit better than we do. You need to be concerned about this as you try to increase economic activity and get rid of the empty storefronts that we're starting to get and attract new residents. The Loop cannot afford to be considered as a dangerous area. Olive Street cannot afford to be considered as a dangerous area. U City cannot afford to be considered as a dangerous area. And I don't think we are, but remember, this is a perception issue. These beliefs do not have to be true, although there is a basis for them. The only thing that matters is that people actually believe that U City is dangerous. That's all it takes to keep people away. Action is needed to make sure that these beliefs are changed. U City needs to be safe. U City needs to be seen as safe. This seems to be the business of the police and the various economic development groups. What are we as a city going to do to fix our bad reputation? Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes this section of citizen comments. There'll be another section later on in the meeting. The next item on the agenda is the public hearings. The first public hearing is the liquor license for Neighbor Pharmacy, LLC. And that I'm going to open that public hearing at 6:54 p.m. Ms. Reese, do we have any comments?
None at this time.
Then I will close the public hearing on liquor license for Neighbor Pharmacy, LLC. The next public hearing is for the liquor license for Foxfire Restaurant and Bar. That is opened at 6:55 p.m. Ms. Reese, do we have any comments?
None at this time.
Thank you. I will then close the public hearing for the liquor license for Foxfire Restaurant and Bar. The next public hearing, and the final, is a liquor license for Dollar General. I'm opening that hearing at 6:55 p.m. Ms. Reese, are there any comments?
None at this time.
Thank you very much. Then I will close the public hearing for the liquor license for Dollar General at 6:55 p.m. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve? Mr. Smotherson, a second. Mr. Hales? All those in favor of approval of the consent agenda. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Any discussion? None? Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Nay. The consent agenda passes unanimously. The next item of business is new business. resolutions. Resolution 2019-5, adopting the University City Sustainable Development Guidelines. Do I hear a motion? Mr. McMahon, a second? Mr. Smotherson, any discussion?
For the record, that's a motion to adopt the resolution. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? The resolution 2019-5, adopting the University City Sustainable Development Guidelines, passes unanimously. The next resolution is 2019-6, approving a right-of-way use agreement and settlement with Level 3 Communications, LLC. Do I hear a motion to approve? Mr. Clay, a second. Mr. Hales, any discussion? Mr. Smotherson?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Cusick?
Yes, reading this, and this agreement provides for a payment of $500,000 to University City for the previous right-of-way uses in our area. Is that correct?
Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Cusick, I will defer this item to our city attorney, who I would like to take the opportunity to commend him as well as our special counsel, Dan Vogel, on the job that they did with negotiating this agreement. Mr. Mulligan.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Councilmember Cusick, to respond to your question, yes, it's a $500,000 payment for the use of the rights of way through May 31st of 2019.
And then my follow-up question is, this isn't the first right-of-way resolution that we've had in the last 12, 18 months. So going after the utilities for using our right-of-way, it was table that was left, money that was left on the table in previous years. So so I guess your good work needs to be commended, because this brings the total to about how much that you've been able to obtain for University City for utilities that use our right-of-ways. Is that correct?
That's correct. The total is $1,567,000 for including this settlement for the past use of the right-of-way, and then going forward, approximately $145,000 a year will be paid to the city for the use of the rights-of-way by these companies.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. Hales.
Well, Mr. Cusick beat me to it. I just wanted to thank the city manager and the city attorney for doing all that they have done. I think it was shortly after I came on council last May that the first one came forward, which was about $1 million, if I remember. It is nice to see the attention to detail, even going back through history, to be able to recover these funds for the city and for our residents. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. Hearing no further comments, all those in favor of approval for Resolution 2019-6, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Resolution 2019-6, approval of the right-of-way use agreement and settlement with Level 3 Communications, LLC, passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is the introduction of Bill 9385. Ms. Reese, will you please give a first reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.030, 400.510, 400.570, 400.620, 400.630, and adding Division 15 to Article 5 of Chapter 400 Zoning Code thereof relating to medical marijuana regulations, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon?
Did we need someone to introduce that?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay. Again, I'm sorry.
Whether that was being introduced by the mayor pro tem or one.
Otherwise, I'll introduce
Mr.
it.
Mr. McMahon introduces it. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. We'll try. We're now moving on to Bill 9386. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Smotherson. Ms. Reese, may we please have the first reading of Bill 9386.
An ordinance amending Schedule 3, Table 3-B of the Traffic Code relating to two-hour parking zones.
Any questions? Okay. Our next order of business is Council Reports and Business. Does anyone have a report on the board, commission, or task force to which they liaise? Mr. Hales.
I have two. This month we had a traffic commission and a urban forestry commission. For the urban forestry commission, I suppose I want to recognize the retirement of our city forester, James Crow. He retired, I believe, at the end of April. I know that the director of Parks, Recreation, and Forestry is in the process of finding a new city forester. That commission has been working on sort of an educational piece. I know they've been working with the communications director to provide better background on the importance of trees and in our community and the benefits that they provide in a number of ways. Traffic Commission, there's not much to report. I think we've had two or three meetings that were we had nothing on the agenda, so and a rather light agenda last week. But I do want to say for both commissions, all of the residents that we have serving on them are really terrific, and both very good groups and very thoughtful groups that work very well together. So,
thank you. Mr. Clay?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I wanted to give an update on the not just the senior commission, but the event that was held in honor of May being Older Adult Month. There was a senior and older adult event held last Sunday, I believe, and was delightful. There was information booths for seniors and really good information for anyone in the community, to be quite honest. Things were specifically geared towards seniors. There was entertainment. The ukuleles, yes, were there, as were the steppers, the tap dance group. So we enjoyed the entertainment and the information.
Thank you. Anyone else? I would like to report on the Plan Commission. They actually approved and recommended the ordinance that was before you this evening on the medical marijuana and on the Stormwater Task Force. They've actually come up with a model for early warning. So collecting the rainfall and then predicting the flow of the river. It's pretty exciting. It's been tested a couple of times, and they believe that they are close to writing their report. So I would suggest in the near future we will be receiving their report. Thank you. So the next item of business is citizen participation, and I have one request to speak, Mr. Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. Let me say it's getting tiresome replying to Aaron Ginsburg, or I should say the lunacy of Aaron Ginsburg, but here I am again. First of all, I have nothing to do with Rex Singfield. The idea that I copied an article out of the St. Louis Business Journal that was written by the Show Me Institute somehow makes me on Rex Singfield's payroll. All I can say is if he's ever sent me any checks, somehow they got lost in the mail. But don't matter. Aaron will just keep going on. As far as U-City schools go, I have raised issues about the U-City schools. They're some of the worst in this area. I think they went from last year, the last tests, they were like the fifth worst in the area. The district was fifth worst. They also, previous to that, they were the fourth worst. And also, an important issue, I think, also, is that on average, the black students are 3.8 grades behind the white students. So if you look at a graduation picture and you see everybody in their cap and gowns, you can see that the black students are going to be almost four grades behind, and they're certainly not going to be doing very well in college. As far as the library goes, the library had a proposal on the ballot. They had signs all over, or at least the friends of the University City Library did. The University City Library distributed material. They didn't put on who was paid. They did not put on there who was paid for. By the way, the signs did not put on there who was paid for. They had other material that they were distributing, and they did not file a single report as required by campaign finance disclosure law. So it shows you that maybe the library board is not necessarily doing their business. When I first heard Erin's lunacy, I said to the council that when I was listening to her speak, there was one question came to mind. How can so much ignorance come out of one person's mouth? Well, listening tonight, my question is, how can so much ignorance and stupidity come out of one person's mouth? I know we all have free speech, but I mean, this goes beyond. When you get into this sort of a lunacy, that I'm working for some billionaire, then I think it gets to be a little bit too much. So at any rate, I just wanted to straighten that out, and maybe someday Erin will get straightened out, but I doubt it. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. We are now moving on to council comments. Does anyone have a comment they wish to make? Mr. McMahon?
I would just noting that that Mayor Crow isn't here tonight. I would like to just comment and thank and congratulate tonight all the, I guess it's apropos, all the University City students who are graduating tonight and all their fine accomplishments and moving out into the world, and hopefully they will be strong U-City residents moving forward in the future, and I'd like to congratulate all of them on all their hard work that they do and how they support us here in U-City. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Mr. Hales?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I would like to thank Mr. Tears for his comments about the loop. I can tell you that is a conversation that I know I have had, and I know a number of my colleagues have had with Mr. Rose. It was about 2 months ago at an LSBD meeting. We talked about precisely that, the optics, the perception of the loop, which, by the way, I expect we likely will be going to dinner after this meeting in the loop. It is very safe. I don't hesitate to go down there for dinner, day or night, to get something to eat or go out. So that is something that's been talked about, and among the LSBD board, the Loop Special Business District board, and I had a conversation with Ms. Tucker 2 months following that meeting about ideas and ways that we can start working to bolster that and really correct what I think is an incorrect perception by some. I've had a number of phone calls and a few emails from people talking. Everybody's gotten their property tax assessment letters, and some people have gone to the county website and looked at what has come back and their initial assessments. The phone call I had today was from a resident who her property has almost tripled from 2 years ago in the assessed value and in the appraised value. I can tell you, I think mine is up in 30-35%. Looking at my block today online, there were 50% increases, and I also know of two other residents who I've talked to whose property values, their assessments, more than doubled over 2 years ago. And so something seems a bit amiss on this year. I mean, property taxes typically go up every 2 years. Occasionally they've gone down. But some of the numbers and the consistency of the percentages that they're increasing, I think, A, is likely to cause some pain, and B, looking at some of them, I don't know how they're even remotely justified. So I don't know if we have the ability to access or download the relevant tax data to take a look and see how these increases relate to previous years. But I think it might be worth a look, because I'm getting a lot of conversations both on the street. In my one neighbor, for example, they haven't done anything to their house in 2 years. It's a lovely house, but it went up, I think, $263,000 on its appraised value. Almost 50%. I mean, it's just a massive number. So I think that'd be something that maybe we could take a look at. I don't know if there was a mistake made, but I don't know how the county has arrived at some of these really astronomical increases.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Would like to comment on an event that took place in the evening, Friday evening, May 3rd, in the Loop area. And this is to follow up with Councilmember Hales was talking about with the Loop, that unfortunately someone in the area attacked several people with a hammer and sent them to the hospital. We recognize that incidents like this can happen anywhere, and they really are hurtful when they happen on our home turf. I just would like to remind residents, or let residents know, that Mr. Rose has asked that the police step up their patrol of the Del Mar Loop earlier than they normally would for the summer season, that we take incidents like this very seriously, that there's not any toleration for activities like this or other activities. And to follow up with Councilmember Hales, that Councilmember Carr and I have been meeting with business owners of the Loop to start to address some of these issues and things that could be done to make the Loop safer and to make it more economically viable, so we don't have as many empty storefronts in that area. And that the LSBD and the business owners down there, they do have the will to be able to do something about that. And hopefully in the next couple of months, we will have more concrete programs put in place so that we can do that. And let me also add that while we're concerned with security in the Del Mar Loop area, and as the mayor has said previously, that it's the Loop is the economic backbone for University City, that we are concerned about security in all areas of University City, as well as the Loop, that we're concerned with security and policing issues in the first ward, the second ward, and the third ward. And many residents have come forward stating that there's problems with drugs and drug-related crimes in some of the areas, and that those are being addressed as well. So it's not just the Loop that we're concentrating those energies on, but all of University City, so that everyone is safe in their home and on the streets. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. My request is a simple one. I would ask our City Manager Rose, if he would. There were some people that did come in after he made the announcement, and this is such an important issue that I want to make sure that those that came in afterwards hear this announcement again. But just to reiterate that we do have a signed redevelopment agreement, and then just to repeat that again and your plan to establish that for the next council meeting. Thank you.
I would allow that.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem and Councilmember Smotherson, if you would bear with me for a second, I will simply read the item back into the record again. And this is related to the amended redevelopment agreement for Olive and I-170 project. I received a signed amended redevelopment agreement from Novus Development today, and in order to comply with state sunshine laws and ensure we are above reproach as it relates to public scrutiny of the proposed agreement, it is not on tonight's agenda. It is my intention to place the item on the Council's May 28, 2019 agenda for introduction and recommend approval of the agreement and five related bills as a part of your June 10, 2019 Council meeting. I have every intention of making the agreement available to the public later this week.
Thank you. Anyone else? So I would like to also congratulate the University City High School students who are graduating this evening and their parents and teachers for the support that they've given them over their years. And I wish them well, and the best is yet to come. Finally, there will be a town hall meeting hosted by Mayor Crow and myself on Wednesday night at McNair Administration Building to discuss city-county consolidation, or what was Better Together. We've all said that we would like to talk about it. We should never be in the position of not discussing something just because we don't like it. In fact, that's when our voices should be heard. So the presenters will be Mayor Crow, Mike Jones, who is a contributor to the St. Louis American and cited several times as a serious journalist, and also Terry Jones, who is a professor emeritus at UMSL and a well-known a scholar on local government as well as government in University City. So I hope if you have the time, please come. There are some available seats, so we look forward to seeing you. It'll be at 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at McNair. And I think that's 8136 Groby. Anyone else? With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Mr. Cusick? Mr. Clay seconds? All in favor? Opposed? The meeting is adjourned at 7:18 p.m. Thank you, John.